Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you buying what we're selling in week 4? Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia. That is Dan Harris, and it's you. And today, it's about the rest of the season, the trades you want to make, the buy lows, the sell highs, the risers, the fallers, and everything in between. And Dan and I are going to break it all down for you on today's pod. And we're also going to, you know, continue to honor our friend here, as I said we would all week, and I keep using that word honor, I keep using that word tribute, and I think it's very important that we continue to do that the rest of this week as we acknowledge that business as usual is not business as usual here at Fantasy Pros, but we are not going to leave you hanging, we are not going to leave you without your shows, without your football, because you know how much it means to you. And Dan, I got to tell you before we even jump into the show today, my daughters listened to the tribute show on their own, unsolicited. I'm not sure what came over them or why they wanted to do that, but they did. And they actually have notes for us. Actually, a note for you specifically, Dan Harris. No. So okay. Are you ready to receive some notes?
Not really, but let's go.
Yes, notes from the children, because, you know, Dan and I don't get enough from everybody else. We've got to get notes from our children. Yeah. And I'm sure Will gives you notes too, but my oldest daughter, after the pod, she said it was really nice what you guys did, she said. And she knew Tags and you know, knew about him for many years. And she said to me, Dan mentioned he liked Marvel. And I said, you're right. He did mention in that. And what a superhero Tabby was, you know, and is during this whole situation. And she said to me, tell Dan, she said, this is my note for Dan. She specifically said note. Tell Dan to remember what Vision said, which is that what is grief if not the perseverance of love? And I can tell you, there is such an incredible amount of love here over this weekend, over the last few months, and over this week as well. And I wanted to remind you, because if I don't tell you, then I get in trouble here at home. So, Dan, a little reminder for you.
I do appreciate that note from your wonderful daughter. That is a great message. I will say that I receive a note from Will on all of my podcasts, which is, your voice stinks, and I don't trust your projections. So My notes from my children are not nearly as impactful as those from your daughter, but that's a great note from your daughter. I thought it was going to be critical, that I appreciate that it was just beautiful. I'm sorry, I'm used to critical notes from children.
Well, my youngest then said, tell Dan Harris that Emmanuel Sanders is a one-week wonder and stop overpaying in waiver wire.
Get her on this show. Yeah. Let's go. Best player ever.
Yeah. So there you have it. So today, as we always talk about, it's the trade candidates, the rest of the season show. And of course, here at Fantasy Pros, we also do that listener mailbag, which we're going to do earlier today than we usually do, because I want people to hear it, because I think it's important as we continue these daily affirmations and trying to give you quality football content, and also continuing for ourselves selfishly to heal in a very difficult time. But before we even get into that, once again, at Fantasy Pros, we like doing good things, and part of doing good things is giving you all free stuff for listening to the shows and being a part, and it would make me very happy to give every single person a Kyler Murray football right now, autographed, but we're only giving away one. So I want you to go to fantasypros.com/contest, and I want you to make sure that you put in your entry for that. It's thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction, as usual, and when you subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros, you get 3 times the entry for that Kyler Murray football that is autographed by the genius himself, number one. That is right, Kyler Murray. So make sure you head over to fantasypros.com/contest, drop a review of the show, especially right now too. Just drop reviews of the show anyway, because it's a great way for people out there to remember our friend and pay tribute to him. And again, the tributes have been astounding. And as we continue to move on here, Dan, I thought it would be good to take the mailbag where we typically, you know, we take questions from everybody, right, Dan? I mean, how much of your life is spent from, I don't know, August till December answering mailbag questions or Twitter questions, right? I would say a fair amount, right?
93%. I tracked it. 93%.
Well, we've gotten so many thousands of messages, and I thought maybe this week in particular, it was a little, you know, strange to go right back to that. So instead of trying to pull thousands and thousands, and I do mean thousands of messages that you've all reached out to us during this very difficult time, I decided to pull one in the hopes that I can help somebody else by reading this. And this is an incredible email that was written to us over the weekend, and I just want to share it with everybody here at Fantasy Pros, and then I promise you, we will get into football. But I know if I don't do it at the top, some of you don't listen to the end of the show, and I want to make sure it's at the top, just in case we can help somebody either in this grieving process or a grieving process of their own, or just help them, period. Here we go. First and foremost, importantly, I hope that you three are doing well and as well as can be expected. I've experienced close loss before, and I know nothing can make it better, but I'm hoping I can offer you something to help in a small way. You four strangers have helped me beyond anything you'll know. I've been struggling with alcohol and drug abuse for 30 years. January 2020, I ended up in the hospital and have some heart disease to show for it. A few months ago, I decided enough is enough, and I knew I needed to figure something out to help me get sober. I've listened off and on to various podcasts, and I've been in fantasy leagues for years, but I heard Joe and Dan on the baseball pod and was hooked. Slowly, I started listening to past pods, football pods, etc. On my way to the gym, I would bike and listen, and at night, when I wanted to drink so bad, I'd listen. I was listening to the past and present like I was hearing them all for the first time. That was it. I had found, by making you guys a part of my routine, it would help me stay focused. There have been nights that you guys, you know, being part of that routine, and sometimes where I wanted to drink so bad and give up so bad, but I didn't. I would start listening, start reading content instead. Joe, you especially were such a big part because I also listened to the wrestling pod. See, Dan, everybody loves the wrestling pod. Don't worry, I'm not going to go crazy fanboy territory here on you guys. The more I listened and read, the more I got to know all of you, and I started looking forward to waking up and hearing all of you, which also meant starting the day and getting out of bed a little easier, so I didn't want to drink at night. Then I got to the point where I would tweet or message, and getting those replies made me feel important again. My wife and daughter are my world, but as sad as it is, I could drink around them. They've accepted that I get drunk sometimes, or I'd smoke weed sometimes, and they didn't realize I was struggling to try and be sober, and I was embarrassed to tell them that I couldn't control it. After they would go to sleep, I would drink myself to sleep some nights, so interacting with all of you in the fantasy community was and is so very important because it helped my routine and helped me focus on something else. Tags and all of you did that for me. You all helped me, and you're still helping me. The other night, I used Tag's passing as an excuse to drink because it made me so sad. I was a coward. As an addict, I need a reason to tell myself it's okay to drink a couple. Then on Sunday, I listened to your tribute show to Tag's, and Joe, I'm sure that my tweet was the one you were referring to on that show. I broke down and cried because I could hear the emotion in you that day, but I could also hear that you guys probably don't understand how important you are. The importance of what you do cannot be measured, and I know I'm not alone. I know there are others in my situation who aren't ready to talk openly about it, but I am. I told my wife how bad I was struggling, and she had no idea. She just thought I liked to drink and she thought I was just part of my lifestyle. I explained to her about you guys and how I used you guys to help in my fight, and she thought I just really liked hearing about fantasy sports. Because of you guys opening up and hearing your strength and emotion, I told myself if these guys and Tabby are taking this incredible loss with such strength and openness, I need to do the same with my own struggles. I am in no way trying to compare the two situations. I just want all of you to understand how important your friend Tags and you all are to some of us. Some of which you may never hear from, some of which will say thank you, but maybe not talk about it in depth. I decided to talk openly about my struggles as a way to thank all of you and Tags. Hearing you guys on that tribute show gave me something inside to decide that I can help honor your friend by staying sober. I talked to my daughter and my wife openly for the first time about just how bad it was for me. Thank all of you for giving me this. I'm so sorry for your loss, and I wish there was more I could do, but I'm hoping, if nothing else, just so you know how important Tags and all of you are to me, his memory will live on in everything you do. Please give Tabby my best and let her know how important her husband is to people who may not voice it or even realize how much you all impact everyday people like me. Much love. That is a listener mailbag, and Dan, I know it was a little lengthy, but if that gives anybody some solace and anybody some hope today before we start talking football, I hope it was time well spent.
Yeah, I saw that email yesterday as I was catching up, generally speaking, sent to all of us here. It's a beautiful email. It's the reaction to Tags' passing has been overwhelming. In a positive way, just it's so clear how many people he reached. And I think about this often, very briefly. Before I was a fantasy analyst, I remember my father passing away. I've referenced several times. And that was in December, and we got bad news. And I remember calling a buddy of mine who was in a fantasy league. We were big fantasy players together. And I told them that my father was going to die. They all knew my father. They were like, oh my God, like incredible. Like we were breaking down. And there was a long pause. And then I remember I said, bet my fantasy team's going to be tough to beat in the playoffs though, right? And we paused for a second. And then we both burst out laughing hysterically. And for the next few weeks, we talked about fantasy. Like we listened to podcasts. Like we did it. It is a wonderful way to sort of, it has an impact on people, and Tags had an impact on people. So the reaction from that listener, from all the listeners really, has been overwhelming. I'm glad in a way that anything that we have done since then has helped you guys cope with it as it has helped us. But I'm also thankful that we can use fantasy football right now as a distraction and what Tags would have wanted to keep going and to keep doing what he loved the most.
And as frustrating as fantasy can be, reality sometimes is far worse. Yeah. So that being said, thank you again. I asked for approval from that listener of ours to read that. And of course, I said I would do it anonymously. And I hope that once again, as we continue on this week, we're going to continue to do tributes such as that. And in the spirit of that beautiful, glorious email, let's talk some fantasy football. And of course, today we're going to be talking about trades. And if we're talking about trades, we should talk about fantasypros.com/myplaybook, because that is where our trade tool lives, and it helps you analyze all the trades you could possibly imagine for all of your leagues. Again, the trade analyzer gives you instant analysis for every trade offer, and we also have a trade finder that helps you discover trades that can and will help you win your league. And Dan, you're not going to believe, when I started out this morning putting the show sheets together, who's at the top of the most traded list? It is actually Christian McCaffrey, the 1-1. It's week 4. He's hurt already, and people are freaking out, Dan. So now we got to talk about it. We have to talk about Christian McCaffrey. We have to get into this. And basically, the first thing is, should you buy, sell, or hold Christian McCaffrey right now?
I think hold is the right call. I will say that any injury, training for any injured player or training away an injured player is a bit of a roll of the dice. So what do we know about McCaffrey? It's a less than a grade one hamstring strain. He's not going on IR. So everything is like, great. He'll be back maybe in a week. Maybe he'll play this week. Probably not. But he'll probably be back within a week or two if everything goes well. But we have also seen this type of thing happen before where Joe Mixon was supposed to be back next week and then missed
Don't
the
you put
season.
That evil on me, Ricky. I wouldn't dare.
So here's what I have done for now, Joe. I have dropped McCaffrey to sixth in my rest of season rankings. That is behind Alvin Kamara, Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook, who I expect, Aaron Jones. Like, if you want to make a one-for-one trade for one of those guys, I can live with it. Personally, if I roster McCaffrey, I'm just holding. And if I roster one of those guys who I think it takes to get McCaffrey, I'm just holding. So this is a hold, but if you are going to sell him, it has to be for like a top five player rest of season, and that's it. Otherwise, just hold.
It's a hold for me as well. However, when he comes back, hopefully sooner than later, I think in any keeper format, I think we should be considering what the value is right now. Just because we've seen two massive seasons of workload from him, two massive, incredible productivity seasons. And I think after last year and now another injury here, there's room for concern of how good of an asset going forward he is. But in redraft, I agree with you. I think you hold because I think it's going to be tough to kind of get some of that value. That being said, it's also very difficult, I think, to rank him for the rest of the season because of the timetable of the injury and trying to figure all that out. I'm having a hard time with that. I mean, he's still an RB1 in my rankings rest of season, but it all depends on what my record is right now. If I'm 0-3 with Christian McCaffrey, which is not impossible, but probably unlikely, I don't know. There's definitely the impetus to want to bring in somebody who can help me right now, and I get that. So let's talk it out, Dan, and let's see if we can maybe tempt you with a couple of trades. Would you trade Christian McCaffrey for a trade package starting with, let's say, Najee Harris and then something else?
No. I guess it depends on what that something else is. If the something else is a wide
How about
receiver?
Calvin Ridley?
Okay.
Najee Harris, Calvin Ridley. I'm giving you a wide receiver one fringe talent and an RB1 fringe talent.
I think I do that. First, I'll say this. If I roster Christian McCaffrey, putting aside what my trade chart, which, by the way, will drop later tonight, maybe by the time you're listening to this, once I have gone fully through my rest of season rankings and all the values, my guess is the trade chart is going to say that that is a trade that you make as a Christian, someone who rosters Christian McCaffrey. I will say that trading Christian McCaffrey is so difficult, no matter what the trade chart says, even if it says it's a fair deal. With that, though, yeah, I think so, just because I think Najee Harris is an RB1. The offensive line is terrible, but he had 19 targets in the game. I don't see any of that really ending. I think the volume is going to save it. And Ridley is a guy who, I mean, we're going to talk about buy-low candidates, Joe. I don't know how you feel about Ridley. Ridley strikes me as a buy-low candidate. Even moving him down rest of season rankings, he's still a wide receiver one for me, a guy who you can feel pretty confident is going to produce rest of season. So, yeah, I think I do that at least in a vacuum. What about you?
I think I strongly consider it, especially if my record right now is 1-2 or I'm somewhere like that. If I'm on the O end or the one end, yeah. If I'm 3-0, I'm just waiting for McCaffrey. If I'm 2-1, probably waiting for McCaffrey. And again, a lot of it has to do with where we are in the season. But I think what I'm trying to kind of verbalize here is I think you need somebody who is in that at least RB1 conversation, whether it be a Taylor, a Gibson, a Saquon, a Najee Harris, something like that, and a wide receiver that is right on the fringe of high wide receiver two, maybe was valued as a wide receiver one, but hasn't gone off to the best start. Allen Robinson, Calvin Ridley, trying to put together like the package that I think would make sense in terms of return on the value. In terms of one for one, I'll just ask these questions. Rest of the season, would you rather have Christian McCaffrey or Alvin Kamara?
Yeah, I have them back to back in my ranking. Somebody actually asked me that. Somebody's like, somebody is offering me Alvin Kamara for Christian McCaffrey. Do I take it? And I was like, I mean, the bottom line is they will have the same value in the trade chart, almost certainly going forward. So I would hold whichever side I was on that. Like I would not offer Alvin Kamara to get Christian McCaffrey. I would not offer Christian McCaffrey to get Alvin Kamara. One for one trades in the same tier for that. It's identical value for me.
I would take Alvin Kamara because I want to win this week, especially if I don't get Chuba Hubbard.
So, right. You mentioned it, Joe. Every trade, and this is why, as much as I like doing the trade chart and I think it answers most questions, everything is specific, right? Like you are 0-3. You are on the verge of your fantasy season potentially being not actually over, but like bottom 5% chance of making the playoffs. You've got to win. And if you've got to win, like you will rather take the Alvin Kamara facing the Giants this week, as opposed to Christian McCaffrey facing nobody this week because he's almost certainly out. So that's a good point that it is context specific, but in a vacuum, all things being equal, I'm holding whichever side I have.
All right, here's two more names, Austin Eckler or Ezekiel Elliott. Would you take either of those guys for McCaffrey right now? Because there's also the risk of re-injury at some point, too. I mean, maybe we are seeing a physical breakdown of Christian McCaffrey. That's not an impossibility either. Eckler coming off a good week. Ezekiel Elliott, who we'll touch on in a second, too, certainly looked better last night and got some more attention. Tony Pollard also looked good, but we'll get to that in a moment. Eckler or Elliott for CMC rest of the season, who would you rather have?
I think I'm holding CMC there, and both because I think the fact is that there are concerns with both Eckler and Zeke, not like active concerns, not like I want to get rid of either one of them, but Eckler, obviously, he had a hammy sort of coming in to the season, and he's battled the hamstring injuries in the past. I don't think he's just the pinnacle of health or anything like that, and again, for the most part, I don't expect him to get the rushing work near the goal line, so there's a little bit of a cap on his ceiling despite how good he's played, and for Zeke, great game yesterday, but if you go back a year or 2 years, that game is 175 yards rushing and three touchdowns for Zeke. Pollard cutting in, not nearly as many snaps as people are fearing, and Zeke looked great, and he's still a strong RB1, but Pollard's presence, Joe, in that
explosive
offense. And he looks great. That's the thing about it. Like, I don't care. Like, from a real football perspective, you should be using Pollard to take roughly a third of the snaps, get in some carries. He looks great as well as Zeke. So for me, there's too much of a cap on his value as well. I'm just holding CMC there.
Yeah, and going back to Pollard, too, for a moment, if I may, I know usually we touch it Monday Night Football. It's pretty much a walk for the Dallas Cowboys yesterday, but Ezekiel Elliott is the big takeaway too. Dalton Schultz, a couple touchdowns for him, but also Pollard. And I know most fantasy analysts out there will always shy away and turn away from, you know, yards per carry. But in Tony Pollard's case, it's not 2 yards in a cloud of dust, 2 yards in a cloud of dust. And then like all of a sudden he breaks like a 50 yard run. He is slashing his way for like 7 yards every time. And it is clear if you're watching that this is a legitimate high yards per carry that he's got right now. And it's something to, I think, take a lot of notice on. And it's going to make the Dallas Cowboys very difficult to beat in that division. That division looks like it might be over already if the Washington football team doesn't get it together, Dan. Because last night in Dallas, that was a certain statement game for them. And they look terrific. And the defense is continuing to improve. And, you know, we talked on the IDP show, Scott Bogman and I, about the difference that Micah Parsons makes on that defense.
Yeah.
And how he would be able to contain Jalen Hurts better than most other linebackers because he's able to go sideline to sideline. He has such great speed, and you saw it last night. He had a half a sack. He had, I think, 3 or 4 tackles last night, but it was also just his presence that made Dallas defensively, I think, just a tick above where they were last year, which was very bad, but certainly now more competitive, which helps on the offensive side not put so much stress on them.
Yeah, it was also an Eagles offensive game plan that made me want to vomit in my mouth as
I was
watching that. I don't understand. I like, let's just not run the ball. Let's make Jalen Hurts essentially a pocket passer. And it was just terrible. I didn't understand anything that was going on. But yes, the Cowboys look good. Now, I don't expect them to dominate the game in the way, because whatever Pollard had last night, 11 carries and a catch, and obviously they were able to lean on the run. But I think he's going to basically pop in here and he's going to get roughly a third of the snaps and he's going to get a third of the touches. And that is going to take away from Zeke. Like, there is no way to get around that in this point. That is a cap on Zeke's ceiling. So, you know, I add him again, Joe. I don't think this is why it's weird. Like, in the end, I don't remember where you wound up with Zeke. I know you were fading him in drafts.
Like, I think I had him at 7 or 8.
Okay. That's going to be correct. No. When you're making that choice in that range, Joe, that's everything. And you're going to wind up, I think, being correct on that, not just because of like, oh, well, there are injury concerns because of his workload or how he looks. It's just that Pollard has earned a role in this offense. The offense looks better when Pollard is in it. So I think it's going to be one of these offenses where you're going to basically not a platoon, because Zeke has and will continue to dominate the touches and the snaps. But I think Pollard is going to be here for the long term. So for me, again, and the thing about McCaffrey, because this is where we obviously started with it, is if you are McCaffrey may miss 1 week and then be healthy the rest of the season. And McCaffrey, to be clear, like, you may be like, well, it's the RB1 versus the RB5 or the RB6. The RB1 in the case of Christian McCaffrey is a unicorn. Like, this is a tier unto himself that basically is just a complete difference maker in fantasy. Like nobody else is, not even Dalvin Cook. So that's why I can't bring myself to do it unless I'm getting somebody who could potentially have just enormous upside, which at this point, I think Zeke doesn't really have anymore.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about something I love dearly, and that is Superflex format. I have been banging the drum for years for Superflex to be more of a thing in the fantasy football community. And guess what? Finally, after all these years, it's starting to gain enormous traction. However, it's really reaching its pinnacle over at Owner's Box. Owner's Box is an incredible place where you can go and play some amazing fantasy games in that Superflex format. Owner's Box currently offers two game types, tournament salary cap and head-to-head live drafts. All new players get $25 bonus when they deposit $10 or more on the platform. And they've introduced the new Superflex salary cap game that I absolutely love. It is such a fun format to play in, and doing it in a daily fantasy kind of realm is even cooler. A revolutionary new way to play fantasy football that brings new strategic alternatives to the traditional season-long formats and daily fantasy. The Superflex salary cap format, available only at Owner's Box, mind you, removes the kicker and the defense. Nobody wants to play those guys. We want more quarterbacks. The quarterbacks are where it's at. That is what football is all about. So why isn't it what fantasy football is all about, especially daily fantasy? And it focuses only on offensive players. Users will build their 9-player lineup while staying under that $50,000 salary cap. Large prize pools are available throughout the season. The Superflex position, the main differentiator. That's right. That's what makes the contest special. It gives the user the option to select an additional quarterback, running back, or wide receiver, or tight end. But if you know, like me, you're probably choosing that quarterback. But ultimately, it's the quarterback, the premium position versus the other guys in that fantasy format. And that is why I love it so much. So if you want to come hang out with me and play a little fantasy, go over to Owner's Box right now and join a contest for free. Players can use the promo code DREW9 for a $10 free entry into the salary cap contest. One-time use only. Again, that promo code is DREW9. Adding a Superflex spot allows you here at Owner's Box versatility in your lineup construction, different philosophies, and you now have the option of starting two quarterbacks instead of one, boosting the value of the quarterbacks, which is something you'll notice with the Owner's Box game versus other platforms. You also have the versatility to not play the quarterback in the Superflex position, but you know Joey P is going to be playing the two QBs whenever he gets a chance. So head over to Owner's Box today. Once again, you can download the app and start playing with that code DREW9, $10 free entry into that salary cap contest, and see it for yourself. And now, back to the action. We have over 1 million teams synced to our My Playbook tool, and Christian McCaffrey was the top running back traded according to, again, My Playbook League syncs. Now we'll go to wide receiver. The number one guy might surprise you because he's gotten off to a very good start, but perhaps some concerns starting to set in when it comes to Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks, I have to admit, was a player that I was a little fearful of drafting. I didn't mind drafting him later. I don't have any shares. Somehow in all my teams, I did not end up with one Brandon Cooks, and I wish I had because it's been a pretty good start to the year for him. But I think with the quarterback situation here with Davis Mills, there's definitely some concern. Brandon Cooks for you, would you buy, sell, or hold?
Man, I think I'd probably sell. And I have a lot of shares of him because I did think this is basically the, you know, it might be on the high end of the range of outcomes that I foresaw, but you did think that there was a likelihood of him, the ball had to go somewhere, Joe. And even the most inept offense, Jets aside, can support at least one fantasy relevant sort of player, right? And it sort of felt like Cooks is the guy. Like, you want to give him kind of a poor team, a poor quarterback. That's a guy Brandon Cooks can succeed with because he succeeds on every team and with every quarterback. So far, we're at like the peak of the value. He's got 32 targets in the three games, 322 yards, 23 catches. That's incredible. The problem is, again, Mills wasn't, I don't know about you, Joe, Mills looked, even though he didn't have a good game against the Panthers, more competent than I think I expected in that
more
game.
More competent in the short week for sure than I thought he was going to be. Short week is always tough to prepare for. I don't know how they do it,
right?
Especially for a backup quarterback, which is why I was so concerned about it, because there's just not a lot of time to get the game plan together and to execute it in practice. But
yeah.
I will say this, I agree, it was not terrible. And the Panthers defense is much better than people give him credit for too. But I was saying that at the end of last year, I was screaming that into the void of like, hey, this crew is starting to figure out, you know, I'm a defense guy. I love the defense. Yeah, you could see that as that went on the season, this very green group of guys started to actually play better together and stopped getting tricked by some of the older veteran quarterbacks who would be able to, you know, look them off one way and then make a play somewhere else. They started to figure it out a little bit, and it's carrying over. But that being said, these first few weeks were very good matchups as well. So we'll see how it goes in the next 6 weeks.
That's exactly what it is, Joe. I think it's now you have the backup quarterback plus the matchups at Buffalo. Not good. The Patriots, very solid defense overall. Indianapolis, as they get healthier in the secondary, tough defense. Arizona, fine. Then the Rams, then Miami, where he's going to get Xavier Howard. Then the bye. I mean, at that point,
makes me want to sell Cooks the way you keep talking about it.
That's what I'm saying. That, and by the way, that is something that I want fantasy managers to really, really think about when they go forward, is when you want to sell high or when you want to buy low, you should have the schedule grid up ready to go every single time. Because again, if it were me, this is when I would be selling Cooks, like right off the bat. And look, he might have a great game against Buffalo. You never know. Cooks is a great player, and he's going to get so many targets. But with that matchup, man, like, you can foresee this going south really, really quickly. So if I have Cooks and a guy, again, who I have generally, I think, been a little higher on than consensus each and every week, who I was probably higher on than consensus in our draft rankings, because I kind of thought that target share was going to make up for a lot of deals. Now is the time where I think I'm like, okay, if people are still buying this, now I'm ready to kind of sell high if I can.
Yeah, you definitely this offseason opened up a house for old wide receivers. That's definitely the day. Just come. It's like on the Statue of Liberty. Come, bring me your 35-year-old wide receivers.
And
bring
me
your tired, you're hungry. Dan Harris will roster all of you.
Let's not limit it to wide receivers, man. You're an old, broken-down player at any position. I got your back. Come on over. We're good.
All right. Can I get Brandon Cooks, or should I say, can I get Deebo Samuel for Brandon Cooks right now? Is that a trade
you make? Yeah, I think you can, and I think I would. Yeah, I think probably... As close as Deebo was to having a nice game here, I think there's reasons that you are going to look at that game and a fantasy manager is going to be concerned about Deebo. I think he got 10 targets in the game, but obviously he didn't have it. He dropped a touchdown pass, but you saw Kittle more involved. Brandon Ayuk was more involved. People, I think, want a reason to jump off Deebo if they can. And if you give them a bad game and you see Ayuk a little more involved, I think that that's it. I think that's a trade that realistically you can make, and that is a trade that I would make, yes.
Here's another trade that came straight from fantasypros.com/trade, which is our trade tool. It's Brandon Cooks for A.J. Brown. Can you buy low on A.J. Brown right now? Does Brandon Cooks get it done in the casual league, quote unquote?
What we talked about is I really hate trading for players who are injured at this point. A.J. Brown may miss a week. He's like the toughest dude that, you know, you can see play through two bum knees. But it's a soft tissue injury, Joe. And again, we hosted the baseball podcast as that wonderful listener. And we talked all the time when there's a soft tissue injury, we get very nervous because we know that those are very difficult to recover from. Brown may miss a week. He may miss 3 weeks. He may miss 5 weeks. Like, he's week to week. That is never a good thing, right? It's not day to day. It's week to week. So I think for me, Joe, realistically, if I have a league, for example, where my team's not all that great, but I have A.J. Brown. And I remember during the draft, I kept getting sniped on running backs, like nonstop, just boom, 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 all day long. So I just kept drafting wide receivers. And I was like, okay, there's value here. I'm going to sit there. So for me, the fact that I'm going to be without A.J. Brown for, let's put it, 3 weeks maybe, I'm okay, right? Because I've got, you know, even hopefully Deontay Johnson comes back, but I've got Chase Claypool and, you know, I've got a pretty deep wide receiver core that can just fill in. In that case, I'm not trading A.J. Brown away because the upside is too great. But like you said, you might be, you know, 0-3. You need a body. Not sure how high I'll have Brandon Cooks ranked this week. I'll put my weekly rankings later tonight. But it is something where that might be something if people are like, look, I need a body. It's a deep league. I don't have anybody to play right now. I think that's a trade you might be able to make if the person rostering Brown is scared of the injury.
Your anecdote brought to mind something somebody asked me the other day, which was, do you think fantasy football should evolve to a thing where you're starting a quarterback, one running back, three wide receivers, and two flex? So we don't have to start that second running back. And I got to tell you, the question gave me pause. And I think that listener might be onto something, that maybe that is where things are going here. The way these running back by committees and the 17 game season, all this stuff is starting, where you can still start more running backs if you want to, but you're not locked into two. Now, you're an old school guy. Does this ruffle your feathers here, Dan Harris? Or you think he's onto something?
My feathers are not ruffled. I think that that's fine. I look, I am a sort of a traditionalist. I like the two running backs, and I think there's enough out there. And that's part of the game. Part of the game where you understand that, like, man, I've got to lock in my running backs and figure out what's going on, because otherwise I am going to be dealing with a committee. If anything, Joe, I think that we should kind of eliminate the tight end position and make it more of a wide receiver tight end position, so that you still draft Kelce, you still draft Waller. But then you can talk about, you know, and Kittle, then you can talk about, do I start Kyle Pitts in a league like that or something
like
that?
That's also a good part of evolution, too. That's a serious conversation, too, because there's teams that just flat out don't utilize a tight end in their offense. You know, everybody utilizes the running back for the most part.
Every week we talk about waiver wire tight ends on our waiver wire show, and it's like, I don't know. There's, what, nine tight ends that you feel okay about at this point? I mean, I'm sure Yates still has Jonnu like fourth or something overall, but I'm out on the Jonnu train, and I think that there are a lot of people who are as well, so it's a tough position. But look, running back, it's tough, but I like having to navigate difficult waters.
I know you do. So let's get back in the kayak and ask two more here. Robert Woods, another guy I get so many Robert Woods questions. Can I start him? Can I trade him? What's going on? So I'm going to throw out, again, from fantasypros.com/trade, some offers here to you. Antonio Brown or Robert Woods, who would you rather have rest of season?
I'm sticking with Woods. And I think the bottom line is, I will say, like, Woods is not a guy who I am ignoring what is happening. I want to make that clear. I was very high. I think we all were probably pretty high on Robert Woods, as we are every year, because he's undervalued every year. And this has been bad. Like, I'm not sugarcoating it. I'm not saying, well, if you look at this, it's actually okay. Other than the fact that obviously he's running the same routes and he's playing the same snaps, all that. This is concerning. But in my mind, I don't buy that the offense has to be all right, Cooper Kupp, you're going to get 12 targets a game and you're going to have two touchdowns. And Robert Woods, you're just going to be an afterthought. Like, they're going to be better days ahead for Robert Woods, even with this change to Matthew Stafford. With Brown, who you and I have both liked, I think the one thing is, as long as Rob Gronkowski is healthy, Joe, we have talked about it, not everybody in that offense is going to go off every single week, right? No. Like, it's just, that's not the way it's going to be. It's Godwin, it's Evans, it's Gronkowski, and it's Brown. So there's not enough consistency for me there to move him at this point ahead of Woods. I will still take Woods there, but I admit that we are pretty much in the same range now at this point in the season.
All right, here's another one for you. Robert Woods or Cortland Sutton?
Also another guy where I will take Woods. And this is, again, look, we saw this week with Sutton. Everybody liked him, and I started him over Chase Claypool in the league and cost myself the league with that. There's just the Broncos offense, I don't know. I think the volume for the passes is going to improve here going forward, because I think they've had a couple of matchups where they haven't needed to pass. So those matchups are ending. They'll have to pass. I believe they play Baltimore this weekend. They'll have to lean into it. I love Sutton as a player, but I still think that's more of like a mid wide receiver three. And I still think that Woods is more like a borderline wide receiver two. So it's not that far off. But for me, I just think better days are ahead for Woods, man. And again, I don't have the data to explain why. I mean, he's got 19 targets in the three games, 11 catches, 124 yards. Ugh. But I still think better days are ahead here in a great and elite offense. So I'm going to hold with Woods there.
All right. One more player really quick here. Tyson Williams. Also getting traded in a lot of leagues. Would you rather have Jamal Williams or Tyson Williams rest of season?
Jamal Williams. And I would agree. This is a major, if we're going to talk about like running back fallers, it's Tyson Williams. Just because, like, you look at the way this looked great, right, Joe? And I was big on Tyson Williams and this week as well. I was like, okay, look, he looks like the best back in that backfield. He's more explosive. He gets involved in the passing game. And suddenly it's like, you know what? We're going to have Latavius Murray lead the team in
running back.
Well,
it's to their own detriment, Dan. And I'll tell you why. Because if you watch the Baltimore Ravens these last few weeks, the best they looked was that first half against the Raiders.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to come out flat out and say it. That's the best that offense has basically looked. You know, last week got Hollywood Brown dropping passes all over the place. It was just, it was a hot mess here. So I'm with you. It's frustrating. You know what? I might actually buy low on Tyson just to see.
Would you?
Harbaugh. Well, right now, because I think people are giving him away or even dropping him this week. It's a long season, like you said. And I always feel like talent wins out. This is why my same theory with Sermon a couple weeks ago. Do you remember when everybody wanted to drop Trey Sermon?
Yeah.
Well, this week he's got a really good matchup on paper. Right now he seems like the only back standing still. We'll see as more news kind of filters in. But there's opportunity at least. And I think a little bit of patience in September tends to get rewarded in November. And I think people just sometimes can't see the forest through the trees this early in the season because they freak out about a bad start to the season. But if you can kind of have a mediocre October and then a really good November, you're on your route potentially to a championship. So youth, talent, those are two things you always want on your bench, at least. It's hard to start Tyson right now. That is true.
All right, out of curiosity, would you take Tyson over Jamal Williams?
No, I would not, because I'm a Jamal Williams guy. But then there's also guys like Chase Edmonds who are kind of, you know, one-dimensional in their offenses too, that you have to wonder about, like, where's Arizona offense going? You saw James Conner rush in a couple touchdowns, which was always our fear with Edmonds. You see Kyler Murray rush in a touchdown, which we knew was going to happen this year. So where are we with Chase Edmonds? He becomes James White, basically.
Yeah. In PPR, Chase Edmonds, I mean, this is a little bit of what I expected with Edmonds, who is fine. And that's around the same range. I think I'll have Edmonds higher than Tyson Williams, because I do think that at least the weekly floor is there. There is no ceiling because he's not going to get the touchdowns, which was a lot of what we talked about early on. And again, Connor got the two goal line touchdowns, but then so did Kyler Murray. So there really is no room for him there. For me, with Jamal Williams, the bottom line is this. There are three players on the Lions that Jared Goff wants to get the ball to, and it is both running backs and it is TJ Hockenson. And I think that you can start all three of those guys with confidence each and every week. And at this point, I can't say the same about Tyson Williams. So that is why I will go with him.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Fight Camp. Have you ever wanted to learn how to box or kickbox from real fighters? You want to get your kids involved in a fitness journey while teaching them a valuable skill? Fight Camp brings the boxing and kickboxing gym right to your home with full body workouts that you'll actually look forward to and a freestanding punching bag that can take your hardest hits. Fight Camp is made for beginners or experienced boxers, and it comes with all the gear you need to box with at home, including that freestanding punching bag, boxing gloves, quick hand wraps, and their unique punch tracking sensors that challenge you to hit the minimum amount of punches each round and allow you to track your boxing and kickboxing journey so that you'll see all the progress you're making. It's great for kids, it's great for adults, it's great for the whole family as an activity. Learn from 6 high-quality trainers with real fight experience ranging from pro MMA fighter to a mother of 2 to a kickboxing champion. Fight Camp uses new tech that tracks each punch you throw to measure speed, volume, and output so you can follow your progress, push yourself, and compete in community leaderboard challenges, or just challenge others, or just challenge yourself with the new versus mode. You can pay for your Fight Camp over 24 months, for less than the cost of a boxing gym, and you get it right away. Plus, Fight Camp offers free shipping with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Just go to joinfightcamp.com/pros. Again, that's joinfightcamp.com/pros to get free shipping on Fight Camp. Again, that's joinfightcamp.com/pros. Join today and get your boxing on. And now back to the action. All right, let's take a look at some of the buy low candidates that are out there. And certainly the Bears qualify across the board after last week's debacle. If the word debacle was meant for an offense this past week, it was certainly the Chicago Bears. But alas, they get the Detroit Lions this week. So I look at this as a perfect opportunity to buy on David Montgomery. Dan Harris, do you think I can buy on David Montgomery using Melvin Gordon or Damian Harris? And should I?
You should. If you are able to do that, yes, for sure. I have David Montgomery, you know, definitely higher than both those backs. I wonder what you can do with Harris at this point, because he's coming off such a terrible game. And I feel like...
And he's got Tampa this week.
So this is probably not the week. Right, exactly. So this is something... But I do think, like, long-term, I think Harris is going to be fine. But for right now, certainly if you can do it, that's great. With Gordon... Of course. I mean, Gordon is in the timeshare. Montgomery has just the vast majority of that backfield to himself. They did look terrible. That offensive line is terrible. But you mentioned it. It's not just Detroit, Las Vegas, then Green Bay after that. Like, there are better days ahead here for Montgomery for sure. So if you can do either of those trades, I absolutely would, to get Montgomery on my team. I don't know whether or not you'll be able to pull it off, though.
I bet you can do it for Damian Harris with maybe another throw-in piece. Melvin Gordon, maybe with a decent wide receiver. I think that might get it done. And I think Montgomery's an intriguing buy low right now, because I do think it can't get worse. I'm pretty sure it physically can't get worse for the Bears offense than it was last week, considering they had less yards than the actual field goal that broke the record pretty much. I will also say, I can almost guarantee you, next week, Damian Harris will be in this spot, because he'll be coming off that bad week against the Saints and then having to face the Tampa Bay run defense this week. Damian Harris might make an appearance on next Tuesday's show. Spoiler alert, everybody. Spoiler alert.
I think you're right. You probably don't need to do it now, but you might be able to get him. If you don't need to start Damian Harris this week, you might be able to get him super cheap because you know the person rostering him is mad about this last game. And they are like, I don't want to start him against the Bucks, and he's probably going to have a terrible game. So if you need a starter this week, you can't do that. But then you look at the schedule, Joe, after that, at Houston, Dallas, the Jets, the Chargers, who have a sneaky, terrible run defense right now. Those are games, especially there's no James White. They want to protect Mac Jones. There's going to be a lot of Damian Harris in those games. So
That's exactly what I'm saying.
And so for me, Joe, honestly, I think this right now, if you can afford
the window. Okay.
I think if you can afford to, you can't start him this week against the Bucks. Like that's just going to be terrible. You can't start him this week, but especially without James White. Okay. And he's coming off a game where Brandon Bolden was like the lead guy, right, in that backfield. I think if you can afford to not start him right now, you make that buy low offer now because the guy rostering him is like, I've got a guy I can't even start this week. Like, and I'm not that excited about anyway, because he just looked terrible in this game against the Saints. You swoop in now. He again has another terrible game this week because the manager at that point might be, if he has a terrible game this week against the Bucks, he might be looking at it afterwards being like, okay, I got through the terrible sort of thing. He's going to be ranked as a starter against Houston. I've already sort of, you know, I've dealt with all the bad stuff. I'm good going forward. Go now. If you can make the move.
All right. Here's another one too. Another buy low running back, Najee Harris. And I keep looking at the Steelers, Dan, I keep saying to myself, it's September, it's a new offensive line, it takes a while for an offensive line to figure it out together collectively, so I'm still willing to buy low, but here's where I'm kind of struggling is, what's the package to get that done, or what's the single player? Would you rather have DeAndre Swift or Najee Harris rest of season?
Very close, Joe. That's
what I do, baby.
That is it. That is very close. I think I'll have Najee Harris ahead. I have Najee Harris like barely ahead right now. And again, I don't think it's too early to be panicking. We talked about this in the waiver wire show. I don't think it's too early to be panicking on the Steelers. I think that offensive line is not going to get better, but we have seen the offensive line be terrible and we have seen Najee Harris be involved. And I think the 19 targets that he saw shows you exactly what we're going to do, which is number one, he is going to dominate the running back snaps and the running back touches. And that is rare in today's game. And number two, his involvement in that passing game is just going to be so heavy that it's going to save his value, even if the offensive line is bad. So for me, I still think I lean Najee Harris, but that is really close with Swift.
All right, let's talk about a wide receiver. I think it's time to buy low on everyone named Brown. AJ Brown, Antonio Brown, all the Browns. I am, maybe even the Cleveland Browns, if you can. But and AJ Brown right now, because of the slow start and the injury, to me, this is the perfect situation. And I know this because as someone who has rostered AJ Brown in numerous places, I am frustrated. I am trying to take a deep breath and realize it is September. Hope that we can get past this. So here's a question. Do you think someone could go out there right now, offer Odell Beckham Jr., who has a good matchup this week, and get A.J. Brown?
I think that the range of trades that are going to be made for A.J. Brown are going to be wild. I think you have an absolute right. you have the absolute right as someone who rosters A.J. Brown to say, I'm not giving him up unless you give me a wide receiver. One, because I'm not going to sell low on his crappy performances early on. I know it's going to bounce back. It's A.J. Brown. It's going to be amazing. And you have the absolute right as someone rostering A.J. Brown to say, this guy's week to week with a hamstring strain. That makes me nervous. I can't afford to sit around for 2-3 weeks on a guy like this. I'm going to trade him for a wide receiver 2, maybe wide receiver 3. For me, I think certainly there is going to be an Odell Beckham Jr. for A.J. Brown trade made at some point within this. For me, I like Odell Beckham Jr. I was extremely impressed with what I saw from him in this most recent game. But I am not doing that as somebody who rosters A.J. Brown because the upside with Odell is just not there. The passing volume isn't there. Jarvis Landry will be back in a couple of weeks. So I think that trade might be made. They're not that far apart in my rest of season rankings, but still, unless you're absolutely desperate right now for a wide receiver, that's something where I think the person rostering A.J. Brown should hold.
All right. I keep, you know, Debo Samuel's name keeps coming up because he's kind of in the fringe of these guys too. Yep. Antonio Brown or Debo Samuel, what side of that trade would you want to be on?
Ooh, that is close. I actually, looking at my rest of season rankings at this moment, I have Antonio Brown one spot ahead of Debo. So as of my guess,
it's almost
again,
like I looked at your rankings.
Stop looking at my rankings, questions. Joe. I've got to cut it off. Yes, it's very close for me. And again, today is the day. Tuesday is my rest of season rankings day. I go back. I look at all the underlying data that is provided today. And then I come up with my rest of season rankings officially, really, today, this afternoon. And then I put in the trade charts. So it's possible that Debo is going to be like a spot or two ahead, but my guess is they're going to be basically almost identically valued. So for now, I'll take Brown if you're forcing me to make a choice, but they're basically the same value.
Yes, I am forcing you because that's what the show is
then
about.
Then I'll take Brown. I will take Brown. There's here. My recommendation.
We are men making decisions. We are that's tough. Fine. Steelers wide receivers. Is this an opportunity just collectively to buy low on any and all of them? I know I spoke about Harris before, but who would you rather have rest of season, Robert Woods or Deontay Johnson?
This is another situation where if it sounds like he's going to play this week, mm-hmm. or it sounds like he's going to even play next week. If this is he's okay, he's going to be back shortly, I'll take Deontay Johnson just because I think that the target volume is going to make up for a lot of the ills that are plaguing the Steelers offense right now. And there's just a lot of safety above Robert Woods. Other than that, unless you're going to tell me that Juju Smith-Schuster is also going to be out for a while, I'd probably take Woods ahead of Chase Claypool, for example. But if Juju is going to miss time, again, he's day-to-day with a rib injury, or if Deontay Johnson's going to miss time, you know, significant time, then I might move Claypool again ahead of him. But really, other than that, because of how broken the Steelers offense looks, it's really just Deontay Johnson that I feel comfortable taking ahead of Robert Woods because of the target volume.
I agree, and I think that's exactly it. If you don't put yourself in the opportunity for volume, and that's where I struggle with Woods, is because the volume is not going to him. So how good the needle has to be thread so finely in order for Robert Woods right now to be fantasy productive. I'd rather take the risk of the injury and this offense that looks like it's coming apart at the seams with the Steelers. And they're hitting rock bottom. Make no mistake about it. Pittsburgh losing back-to-back games at home is something we never talk about on a fantasy football show or any football show. So they are either going to rebound to get it together, or this is going to be the story of the season. This is the end of this era of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I still think it's more probably they get it together because I've been through this song and dance a long time in the NFL and seeing it around. Let's flip the script here a little bit and talk about some sell high. So these were some of the buy low guys. Let's talk about the sell high guys. And we've been waiting for James Robinson to get better, and it's gotten better. But is this the opportunity to get out, Dan? That is the question. So rest of season, would you rather have Daryl Henderson or James Robinson? Henderson coming off missing a game with the injury. Daryl Henderson's been pretty solid, pretty good so far. That offense looks very good. And you just want to get out of the James Robinson business after a decent showing here and things trending upward?
I think it's close. I would prefer Henderson. I do think that this is a sell high moment for James Robinson just because he's coming off a game where he had 21 touches. I don't expect that really going forward. Remember, because of how bizarre this game was against Arizona, because they had the kick, you know, the short kick that they ran back for a touchdown, there was a lengthy part of that game where we thought the Jaguars were going to somehow pull it out over the Cardinals. And because of that, because of the positive game script, I think Robinson got a lot more work than I think we can necessarily expect him going in. He had 8 touches the first game, 14 touches the second game. So the fact that he got 21 touches, that is a sell high moment. Again, this is a spot where you're dealing with an injury. Now, there is optimism that Henderson is going to be able to play this week. So I probably would side with Henderson because I just think the upside is much higher. But it's roughly the same range because of the injury.
I'm going with Henderson 100% if you can get this. And the reason why is just that Rams offense, that Rams team right now, that was a very impressive showing. I understand they were at home.
Oh, yeah.
But this was a statement game. And I was able to watch this game on Sunday. It was the birthday present to myself as I had my kids around. I was smart enough during the week to say, well, if I just want to sit around a little bit on Sunday and watch some football on my birthday, I should get pumpkins. And if I get pumpkins and then grandma and grandpa come over, everybody will just, you know, draw faces on the pumpkins and carve the pumpkins and do that stuff. And I can do it too, but the game will be on. And I was able to watch fairly, you know, basically, I would say 3/4 of it. And I got to tell you, man, that Rams team right now looks very good. That Rams offense looks very good. And Matthew Stafford seems like he is finally saying, oh, this is what I've been waiting for my entire life, to have an offense like this, to have execution like this. And the way right now they are able to get Cooper Kupp open is stunning. And it's funny because you can kind of see it coming, the way they line him up in trips sometimes, the way they line him up in the slot sometimes. And you can see how they're positioning him to get open. And teams still can't stop it. And until they do, Cooper Kupp might not stop all year. I mean, somebody's got to figure that out. And so far, I don't see any secondary figuring it out.
Yeah, I'm buying you know, high on Cooper Kupp, although, again, it's going to take a monstrous return sort of to get him. I will say a couple of things here on the Rams. Number one, look at their schedule, dude. Like, it doesn't matter what their schedule is because they can succeed against it. But Arizona, Seattle, Giants, Detroit, Houston, Tennessee, there's going to be so much offense going around. Kupp is awesome. And again, with Henderson, it's just the injury. Like, if he, if I know he's going to play or be okay, you know, because again, the one thing, again, I'll go back very quickly on Woods, because I think it is worth noting. Again, I can't point to anything to give people optimism really on Woods. The only thing I could say is, number one, I think there's enough of a track record where we can understand that it's probably going to get better, generally speaking. Number two, when they played Chicago, when they played the Bucks, those were matchups that specifically favored Kupp because of who he was going to line up with against the slot. So with the fact that Woods got six targets against the Bucks, four targets against Chicago, which they won handily, I think that's a little more understandable. In the one game where it wasn't really great for Kupp, he saw nine targets. Like, he didn't have the best game. He had five catches, Woods did, for 64 yards. But the fact is that the game that he got the huge targets was really the one of the three games where the matchup, particularly in the slot, did not absolutely favor Kupp. So I do think, again, as you go forward and the matchups are more neutral among the slot cornerbacks and the regular cornerbacks, I think Woods is going to see closer to the nine targets that he saw in the second week. And that's a little bit why I'm just sort of holding firm on my evaluation of Woods. Drop them a bit, but that is why the whole Rams offense, I think you can buy, probably including if you buy low on Woods.
Now, this next sell high wide receiver, actually, this one came straight from one of my Twitter followers who asked me, hey, I've got this offer here for Deebo Samuel for Calvin Ridley. And Deebo Samuel's numbers are still, you know, highly inflated because of that first game. And I think, again, I just think that we might be getting closer to maybe a little bit more rethinking the quarterback position in the next couple weeks ahead for the 49ers. And that becomes an unknown for Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel's a good player. Deebo Samuel's a player I've liked for a long time. He's also a player who's had an injury history. And when we change quarterback, we don't know what the difference is. Jimmy G has always liked throwing the football to Deebo Samuel historically. But Dan, I'm going to ask you this question. Is that just take it and run if you can get Calvin Ridley, who's gotten off to an admittedly slow start, for Deebo Samuel?
Yes. Oh, run.
I agree.
Run right away.
I said, why are you talking to me? Just hit accept.
You should, for two reasons. One, I think that there are concerns about Deebo Samuel. Number one, he has a very, very lengthy track record of like soft tissue injuries, you know, especially hamstring and stuff like that. That is something that you just have to keep in mind, generally speaking. Number two, Brandon Ayuk was getting more involved in the offense. He basically played every snap. And I don't think that every game there's going to be room enough for George Kittle, who was also involved, and Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, especially if they get any semblance of a running game. So there is risk there. Number three, I admit, as I think we talked about, I have lowered Ridley in my rest of season rankings from where I had him. Admittedly, I had him third, okay? I had him ahead in draft rankings, ahead of Diggs, ahead of Hopkins.
Hey, man, a lot of people that thought Ridley could be the 1-1 this year, wide receiver.
The value, the target volume without Julio Jones should be through the roof. And there are, I mean, he's got 29 targets. That's 155 target pace. Like, yay, that's great. It's hard, though, when the average, you know, depth of target that Ryan is throwing to any receiver is 4.2 yards. Like, that's just not going to get it done there. So realistically, though, I think there are going to be better days for Calvin Ridley. He's still getting a massive share of the air yards that are coming out, admittedly small amount of air yards coming out of Matt Ryan right now, but it's like half the air yards that are going out in that offense. That's enough. He's still on pace, Joe. He's on pace for 155 targets and 107 catches. He's only 933 yards, only five touchdowns. But that will get a little better as you go forward. So for me, Ridley is a lower wide receiver one, certainly, than I had him ranked initially. But still, that's definitely higher than Deebo. Run and make that trade.
All right. And as we always say, every Tuesday morning, we wake up and we look to the week ahead and the risers or the fallers after what we saw in week three. So now that we've done that, we had our coffee this morning and we can look at those things. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the running back, Dan, for you that has risen the most after this week in your rest of season rankings. Who is that?
Yeah, the running back who I'm actually looking it up, Joe, because I put it in. If you could tell me who I actually had.
It's Moss, actually.
Zach Moss, correct.
There you go.
See, this is fine. This is my first podcast that I've ever done. Yes, Moss was my RB51 coming into the week. He is now, for rest of season rankings, he's now my RB34. Do I feel comfortable starting a Buffalo Bills running back? I do not, which is why he's my, asking myself questions just like Tags used to do. That's why he is still my RB34. But I mean, he went from inactive to two garbage time touchdowns to looking really good and kind of being the lead running back here for Buffalo. So he was a complete afterthought even coming into last week. And now I think he's a running back that you want to roster if you are rostering somebody in Buffalo. So for me, you know, it is, he's moved up significantly. RB34, kind of guy you can maybe get away with a flex play most weeks.
This isn't even your first podcast today.
Oh, no. I've done like seven podcasts in the last 2 days. That's why I blame all that. I'm not overloaded.
Come on, for me, it's Tony Pollard. I've moved him all the way up to 20 overall because, Dan, I'm falling in love with Tony Pollard. Okay. And once again, it's Ezekiel Elliott. We said he was going to have good games. He had a good game, right? Right? Yeah. This is what he did. But he didn't crack 100, right? Wasn't he at 95 last night, if memory serves?
Yes, 95 is correct. Mm.
So the streak is alive, where he still hasn't rushed for 100 yards and had a rushing touchdown the same game since December 29th of 2019. I just love that. It just stuck in my head. But Tony Pollard's not going away. Tony Pollard is that perfect guy that if you have a Derrick Henry or a Chubb or an Aaron Jones, and you just think, I'm just going to put Tony Pollard in there too as my second running back, I think you're going to be okay. Like, I think you can look around and say there's a lot worse guys you could start every week. He has become an RB2 now that I feel comfortable with so far. And he just looks explosive. He is hitting the holes. He is getting 6-7 yards at a clip. It is fun to watch. And I don't think it's going away. I think it's becoming this identity of this Dallas Cowboys offense that is going to be really fun to watch when they start getting into playoff matchups with teams like Tampa, teams like the Rams. I mean, the NFC right now is looking very strong with some of these offenses and the way that they're running. So Pollard, to me, cracking right at that top 20, probably higher than most people have him, but I don't care because I feel so good. Once again, I put so much equity, Dan, into how good an offense is, because that when an offense is good, it equates into fantasy points, period. That's why they made that Daryl Henderson trade for James Robinson before, right? That's why we're making those trades. You have to look at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture right now says Tony Pollard, he's good. He's good. Right. Yes,
so Dan. Would you prefer him over Damian Harris?
Oh, very close. Damian Harris, because I know he's got tough matchups. Right now, Damian Harris is at 19 in my rankings and Pollard's at 20. Okay. So I'm still going with Harris just by a hair. But this week, I would rather start Tony Pollard. I can tell you that unabashed, unapologetic. All right, so if those are the guys that are rising, Dan, who is falling for you in your rankings at the running back position this week, rest of season?
Yeah, we mentioned him earlier. It's Tyson Williams, a guy who I had bought into as sort of the running back that you want to roster in Baltimore, but his percentage of the running back snaps and touches and everything like that is just A, fluctuating, and B, dropping. So he's a guy who I moved down. RB21, that was probably aggressive coming into the week, down to RB33. So a guy I'm avoiding now.
All right. For me, the guy that I've dropped the most is Josh Jacobs. And this is tough. I've dropped him all the way down to 34 now. So I think it's even lower than I had him this morning. I think it was another spot there that I moved him because I like somebody else more. But I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with the health. I'm struggling with the Raiders and trying to just come to grips with the fact that, the Raiders seem like they're pretty good. Peyton Barber having a huge day and all that stuff. And the matchup they've got this week on paper against the Chargers should be very good for whoever's running the football. And I don't know if that's going to be Josh Jacobs. And that's the thing. When you start dealing with a guy who's not on the field and there's other running backs around, this becomes a very messy situation. I don't know if you're still in a spot, Dan, where you could sell on Josh Jacobs based on name brand recognition, because I think he still carries that. If you can, I would strongly consider it. Would you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was probably out on Josh Jacobs before we should have been out on Josh Jacobs, so I'm certainly out now.
I was out on Josh Jacobs before it was cool to be out
on Josh Jacobs.
I was
so cool, man. I was so gone out of that. Yeah, so that would be somebody who I definitely would.
All right, let's continue on here with the wide receivers. For me, who's moved up the most, it's Mike Williams. That's right. A player that I liked a lot this year, but we know somebody absolutely loved. And Mike Williams all the way up to number 11 right now. He just can't be stopped. He's a touchdown machine. And the other game that I got to watch extensively this week, and, you know, not just red zone, I like to try to clip over to some other games where you're really watching certain quarterbacks play, because I want more information about Herbert this year and what this offense looks like. And I was so impressed with Herbert. I really was. This is a big game on the road in Kansas City, and Herbert played phenomenal football. He got backed up into some bad spots at times and then basically threw his way out of it. And Mike Williams looks just tremendous. This might be too high. I don't know. Maybe it's sentimental reasons. All I know is that Mike Williams is at 11 right now for me, Dan. I don't know where you have Mike Williams, but it's hard to argue with the productivity that he's had.
As of right now, which again, as we record this, I say are my early rest of season rankings, and later today I will have my final, but he is at 17, which I thought was aggressive as well. That is, Joe, I've been waiting to say this to you for a very long time. That is the correct answer. Mike Williams is the riser who should be. I have another name just because I knew you were naming him as well. But Mike Williams is absolutely the guy who should be rising up draft boards each and every week, because not only does Herbert look great, Williams looks amazing. Like, he is just everything that sort of the peak point of his value in terms of what we thought he could become, that he has become that.
And so, I got to tell you, as a fan of his for many years and someone who rostered him for many years, the frustration of the injuries just take its toll on you. So it's so great to see him doing what he's doing right now. So those of you who have him and drafted him, congratulations. Who's your guy that's risen up at wide receiver?
It's DJ Moore, actually, who a guy who I'm really glad to see. Again, the big thing with Moore is, like, we've always wanted the touchdowns and everything like that. But, like, he's got the one touchdown. But you can survive if you're not going to get touchdowns if you're basically going to put up 7-8 catches every single game, and you're going to put up almost 100 yards every game. Like, this is something where this is Sam Darnold knows where his, you know, bread is buttered. And especially even if you're going to have Christian McCaffrey out, that's only going to lead to more. And regardless, I just think Robbie Anderson's kind of phased out of this offense. You know, Terrace Marshall Jr. is getting involved, but not that much. It is Moore. It is McCaffrey. I love what I am seeing from him. I think it's just going to be a dominant season. He was 15th for me coming into the week. He is 9th for me now, like a wide receiver one with a bullet for me.
I've got him at 12 right now.
Yep.
I've still got Williams just a hair ahead of him. DK Metcalf, I still have ahead of him because I'm trying to think long term. It's tough right now. McLaurin's got a really good matchup this week. Those are the guys that, you know, I'm struggling, but another big game from DJ Moore for me could probably leapfrog. But of course, that's not just about the ups, it's about the downs. So Robbie Anderson, same team for me, going down to wide receiver 36, right on that fringe now. And it just breaks my heart. And I think this is going to turn around. I really do. This might be a great buy low opportunity because with Christian McCaffrey out, they're going to probably have to throw the ball a little bit more, I would imagine. And I think teams are going to recognize, all right, we've got to stop DJ Moore. And it's so funny to me, Dan, because last year, if you recall, it was all Robbie Anderson to open the season, right?
Yes.
First six weeks of the season was Robbie Anderson season. And everybody was like, what about DJ Moore? And then teams started to stop Robbie Anderson. And then DJ Moore came alive. And I wonder if we're going to get the inverse this year, which would be ironic and hilarious. But nonetheless, I have to rank where I rank. And right now, wide receiver 36, we're on that fringe of wide receiver 3, maybe a flex option. But right now, I can understand benching him until it gets better. For you, I see somebody in the same exact spot at wide receiver 36 that you want to talk about.
Yeah, I have Robbie way lower than that at this point, Joe. So I've fully bought into the fading of Robbie Anderson. I'm not fading entirely, like totally off, is Corey Davis, who is a big faller, because again, we had him, it was great in the preseason. He got all the targets, and we saw in week one, he was the only option. And now the last couple of weeks, we have just seen it look terrible. Now, why is he still 36? Because I think a lot of fantasy managers are going to be like, oh my God, there's no chance I'm going to start Corey Davis as a wide receiver 3. Well, number one, obviously Elijah Moore, was starting to take a little bit of a bigger role here. He does have the concussion concerns, but I think now is when you're going to see a little bit of a, I won't say competent, I'll say less incompetent part of the Jets offense, because they go against Tennessee and they go against Atlanta for the next 2 weeks. So again, a couple tough matchups. I think now you're going to see a little more from Corey Davis. So he's a guy who certainly fell, but I think most fantasy managers are completely out. He's still sort of like the Robbie Anderson for you. I think better days are probably ahead enough that he sticks in that borderline wide receiver 3 range for me.
Better days ahead for all of us, Danny boy. Better days for all of us. And I want to remind everybody right now that the show is over, go over to fantasypros.com/myplaybook and sync your team up today. Use the trade analyzer. It's a great tool to analyze all the trades you might be making. Make sure you go there and do that. Millions of people have synced their teams over there to My Playbook. You should be one of them if you're not already, with all the amazing tools we offer at Fantasy Pros. And don't forget, while you're over there on the site, go to fantasypros.com/contest to enter that contest and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Click that little notifications button over at Fantasy Pros. That way you get all of the great content that we continue to produce for you here. I want to thank all the sponsors of today's show, including Fight Camp. Join fightcamp.com/pros today and get your health in a better place, your mind in a better place, and Get fighting. Also, don't forget about Owner's Box, where super flex contests live in daily fantasy. Head over to Owner's Box right now and download the app. And when you do, use that promo code DREW9 for a $10 free entry into their salary cap contest. Play in some super flex. Dan Harris, it's always a pleasure to spend quality time with you. This was us 5 days a week, just you and me doing a pod. Feels like baseball season, but it's not. It's football season. Don't let anybody tell you different. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Dan Harris, I'm Joey P. We will see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com. /compatibility